Welcome once again to Camera Dojo, the official podcast of CameraDojo.com, where we help you make the most out of your photography. This week, I'm joined with David Esquire.
Hello.
From EsquirePhotography.com. And we have a fantastic interview lined up today, don't we?
Definitely. Yes, this is a fabulous, fabulous interview that we have today.
And not with each other.
No. We're going to bring in a guest person today that I think everybody's really going to enjoy listening to.
And who's our special guest?
Good friend of mine, Scarlett Lillian out of Florida.
Scarlett is one of the hottest up-and-coming new wedding photographers of our new generation, if you will.
Yeah.
She has a very vibrant, very bright, high-contrasty look. And I think you're really going to enjoy this. We talk about inspiration. We talk about technical. We talk about business. We talk about pretty much everything that run the whole gamut.
Yeah, it's definitely a well-rounded interview. I'm really excited about it.
So let's go ahead and talk about some of the latest news things that have gone on. There's Camera Raw 5.2, which adds support for about 15, 20 new cameras if you're using Photoshop CS4.
I'm sorry. Did you get something stuck in your throat there?
I did. And the Lightroom 2.2 will have the same features in the early part of December, from what I understand.
Hopefully for Christmas.
Yeah. So if you've got a 5D Mark II on order, which from what we understand
is dropping today.
Dropping today. Yep. So you may actually have that in your hands if you've got a pre-order.
It's right here. I have three of them. They're right here.
Psych. Wake up.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Wake up. No, we don't have ours on order yet.
But, nope.
If you do have a 5D Mark II, then you're going to need Camera Raw 5.2 if you're using Photoshop.
That's right.
And you're going to have to wait for Lightroom 2.2 in a couple weeks, unfortunately.
I know. Okay. Yeah.
And
brought me down.
What else new this week?
Okay. Yeah, here's something that's going on right now that I think everybody would be really excited about. Think Tank Photo is running some incredible coupons for the holidays right now.
Right, yeah. If you go to CameraDojo.com, these should still be on the homepage for the next couple weeks, or days or something.
But day.
you can see them on there. There's holiday coupons from Think Tank Photo. There's three different coupons that allow you to get, buy an airport backpack and get a free chimp cage, or buy an airport roller and get a free lightning fast. And so this is a good way to stock up on some extra equipment if you were already planning on buying one of the bigger bags.
Exactly. And, you know, we all deserve to buy ourselves something nice for Christmas.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And I think I deserve for you to buy me something nice for Christmas.
You know, I think we should get each other some, you know, 5D Mark IIs.
There you go.
Okay.
Canon, if you're listening, we'd really appreciate you being a sponsor of the show.
We'll be more than happy to go ahead and test them out for you.
Some of the other new articles that we've posted recently are some several software updates for Canon, Digital Photo Professional, the EOS Utility. This is all stuff to work with the 5D Mark II. So if you don't have that particular camera, then you're not going to need those updates.
And there's a really awesome article right now. It's getting a lot of play all over the internet. It's about recognizing whether or not your compact flash memory card is a fake or if it's the real deal. That is really an important article that was well written. Maurice did it.
Maurice did that. Maurice has been on the show before.
Yeah.
And this is an important topic. If you are buying your cards on eBay, you're probably buying fakes.
Yes.
And this article will tell you how to tell the difference and what the difference is. And what you'll see is they may have a certain rating on them and they may read that fast, but the write times are probably going to be heinously slow. And then there's no guarantee that they're reliable or that they're going to be stable.
Yeah.
They may not have some of the newer technology in there that can kind of blank out some of the spots as the card goes bad and keep the card working. So these things may have a higher failure rate. They're not going to be as fast. They may look cool. They look like SanDisk, or they look like Lexmark or some of the other name brands, but they're not. But
Lexmark.
You know,
Lexar. Wait, Lexmark?
Well, Lexmark.
No.
That's a printer. But really, why would you need to do this? You can go to Amazon. You can buy Kingston. This is a name brand, one of the biggest names in memory. And their 8 gig cards are like $24 right now.
Exactly. So why would you want to cheat yourself?
Why would you go on eBay and buy a fake SanDisk for $24?
Well,
this doesn't make sense.
The integrity of the card is going to be my biggest issue with, you know, buying something that's fake. We recently did an article, not an article, we did a whole podcast And we talked about just some of the integrity issues and security and just safety of your files. And that's really putting a lot at risk, buying something that you don't know if it's legit. And now for me, I shop locally. I shop at Sammy's, and I'll use a few other vendors online, but at least I know that they are authorized vendors for the product.
Yeah. Buy from your local vendor. Buy from an online vendor, but don't buy your cards on eBay.
No.
You know, that's you're just asking for trouble. Adobe also announced Pixel Bender for Photoshop CS4. If you're not familiar with Pixel Bender, it's kind of a framework that you can create plugins for, and you can do things like warping, distortion, and all kinds of stuff within this framework. So it's kind of neat. I have a video on CameraDojo.com under the Pixel Bender demo, so you can see exactly what it can do. It's kind of neat. It's interesting. If you're into some neat effects, it might be worth checking out.
But you have something that's super, 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 super duper that is a huge time saver right now. And that is the article that you just posted about advanced watermarking in Lightroom.
I tell you, I feel like I have the ear of someone in Adobe. You know, I talk to him all the time. He's one of the software engineers on Lightroom. And we have talked about watermarking from the early days of Lightroom 1.0 up through the release of 2.0. And I could have sworn it was going to be in there. He was hoping it was going to be in there. But the watermarking in Lightroom is so bad. And I mean this in the nicest possible way.
We still love you, Adobe.
Because I love Lightroom, but watermarking is so bad that they shouldn't have even put it in.
No.
I feel that strongly about it. But Timothy Arms created an export plugin called Lightroom 2 Mogrify, which on the back end uses Image Magic and some other nifty little things to allow you to do multiple borders, graphic overlays, text annotations. You can export against an ICC profile.
Yeah.
So if you have a profile file for your printer or for Costco or something, you can just export against that and get excellent results. So Lightroom 2 Mogrify, it's an awesome, awesome tool. It's donationware. If you think it's worth $5, pay $5. If you think it's worth $50, pay $50. I mean, but please donate to Timothy for this. It's an awesome tool. I've got a great article on how to use it, how to get it installed, and a video on exactly how to make it work. And I hope I will never, ever, ever see an image online without a watermark on it after this. I think this is a critical thing that we need to do with things like the Orphan Works Act.
Yeah.
We need to make sure our images that are public and online have a signature on them so that there's no question of who that image belongs to.
So you're not going through something like me.
Exactly. Yeah,
somebody stole a bunch of pictures.
I mean, it happens. And, you know, I've been fortunate in that I've been able to recover from it and take down websites pretty easily, but David's been fighting one for a long time. So make sure your stuff has watermarks and use this tool. It's very, very cool.
And da-da-da, what do we have that has come on board?
Yes, we have a new sponsor, Stuffback. If you've never heard of this, they're really cool. They're little labels that you can get for your laptop, your phones, your keychains, you know, any of your electronic devices that you carry, or basically any device that you carry, even suitcases. You put these labels on there, and if somebody finds your stuff, they can go check the website. It has a URL on it. It has a unique code, and they can say that they found your equipment and hopefully get it back to you. And the service pays for the shipping to get the equipment back to you. So hopefully it allows you to get your
stuff back.
Exactly. So that's Stuffback, Stuffback. So right now we actually have a special going on in conjunction with them, that you can get a free mini pack, which is about an $8 value with any order. Just go to stuffback.com/free, and you'll get this extra special value as part of our promotion with them.
And, you know, like myself, it's like I've got more of a discerning brain when it comes to like, oh, you're going to put a tag on something and you're going to get it back. Yeah, right. You know, I found the wallet and it was full of no money, officer. But the thing is that they really do have an amazing retention rate for getting your stuff back. They have over 75% of a recovery rate right now.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
That's amazing.
People do want to try and get your things back to you. I lost a phone in Colorado once, and it took a few months, but they finally found a charger and were able to charge it up, and they looked at my phone number in it, and they were able to call me, and I got my phone back.
You know what, though?
I had already replaced it, but it was...
You know, I wish we would have put a stuff back label on your marbles, because when you lost
I lost my marbles,
you haven't found them yet.
I have not found them back.
So but I'm pumped.
That's it for our news intro, and let's get right to the interview with Scarlett.
Hello, Scarlett.
So today we are here with Scarlett Lillian, one of our favorite photographers from Florida. Welcome, Scarlett.
Thank you so much for having me on. This is exciting.
Well, it's exciting for us too. So why don't you start off by telling people a little bit about yourself and what you're doing out there in Florida?
Oh, gosh. Well, I am a wedding photographer out here, and I'm based in Jacksonville, Florida, where I was born and raised. I love shooting weddings. I kind of got into the wedding industry first through doing videography, you know, kind of entering that phase where my girlfriends were all starting to get married, and they all had photographers but not videographers. So at the time, I was doing graphic design and was just, you know, thought I would pick it up on the weekends to do something fun with filming their weddings, and started marketing myself and getting into that, and that eventually became full-time. But the more I really networked with other photographers and started stalking photographers' blogs and everything, the more I was just really inspired by the photography end of things more than the video, and just really felt that that's where my heart was pulling towards. And it's really, you know, I always had a camera in my hands growing up, documenting my friends and family's lives, and was really into scrapbooking and on the yearbook staff and studied magazine journalism and stuff. So I realized that photography really was my true calling, and eventually switched over to that and phased out the video, and here I am today.
How long did you do video for?
I did it for, I think it was about a year and a half. So just long enough to realize that it wasn't quite the right fit for me, and to discover just how far the art of wedding photography had come just in such a long time, and really fell in love with that aspect of it.
So as the family photographer, are you the one that's missing from all the photos like me?
Yes and no. I always kind of made myself in the picture somehow, but definitely now, like, you know, hanging out with friends and stuff, and they're like, oh, yeah, you're here, take some pictures. And I'm like, no, I'm off tonight, and I just want to hang out and have fun. You know, so I've almost lost that interest in just personal photography, and I tend to let everybody else be the photographers and get copies of their pictures and stuff now. And
how long ago did you switch from video to stills then?
Yeah.
I think October 2006 is when I got my first camera, and that was a Canon 30D, and eventually upgraded to the 5D. And, you know, it had started out originally just I bought the camera just kind of for hobby purposes and to see if I'd even be, like, any good at it. And within a week of having the camera, I was just like, oh, my gosh, I love this. I'm totally going to make the switch. And just started teaching myself and getting involved in forums and just soaking up any knowledge I could about photography. And you know, with my graphic design background, I really love just the editing part of photography. And I knew Photoshop long before I even picked up a camera. And so I was able to kind of pull from all those different seasons in my life to now kind of distinguish my photography a little bit in that sense.
Just curious, you know, you're talking a bit about, like, the different camera bodies that you've used. And
yeah.
You're using the 5D right now. What are some of the lenses that you like to use?
I love the 51-2, and that's what I kind of use, like, most of the day at a wedding. Except during the ceremony, I'll usually whip out the 70-200, and, you know, to be able to get the good close-up shots from far away and stuff like that, and that's just a beautiful lens. I also have the 85-1.8, and for a wide angle, I love the 28-1.8. And then I also have the fisheye, but I don't really use that as much on my 5D because it's almost too distorted with the wide frame versus on the 30D. It was less fishy.
Totally.
You know, you don't like taking pictures of your own back?
Yeah, so those are some of my favorite lenses. Oh, and I have the 100mm macro.
That's a really sweet lens. It actually works well on portraits, I think, too.
I know, yeah. Actually, I have used it for that as well. Before I got my 70-200, I kind of used that for, like, my faraway lens.
Now, so, you're mentioning, you know, with all of your background being in design and understanding Photoshop, just curious, what are some of the things that you'd like to share about your design background and how that really incorporates into your photography? Because a lot of people may have their own perception of it, but I think maybe you sharing very specific themes and very specific ideas and how you've used that and incorporated it into your style of shooting.
Yeah, sure. Well, when I was in graphic design, you know, it was basically like I was using a lot of stock photos and then manipulating those photos to look good for whatever marketing material I'd be working on for a company, and just really learned, you know, through that, how to really like punch the colors and use the actions and, you know, play around with all the levels and the contrast and things like that. So now as a photographer, you know, the way I see the world through my camera is very bright and vividly. You know, I love, like, I mean, if you look at my website, it's hot pink, and I love bright colors. So I love being able to really just pop the colors in my editing now and using my, you know, graphic design background to really, like, that's my favorite part of photography is the editing of a photo. I mean, I love shooting as well, but that's where I really feel like the artist is when I'm editing and stuff like that. But it's funny because I don't really use Photoshop as much anymore. You know, when I was first starting out, I kind of went action crazy, but now I basically use Bridge for all my editing, and I have certain settings in there that I've created to kind of give it that Scarlett Lillian signature look.
Totally. No, you're very consistent with your style, most definitely.
Yeah, I was going to ask what actually is your workflow?
My workflow. Well, I shoot in RAW. I actually had it experimented for about a month shooting in JPEG, but realized that I wasn't able to achieve the right kind of skin tones that I liked with my editing style with JPEG. So I ended up switching back to RAW recently. And
yeah, I saw that.
Then,
you shared that on Twitter recently.
yeah. I know everyone was kind of waiting for my explanation of why I made the big switch, but then I had hesitated because I was still kind of testing it out, and then ended up just going back to RAW anyway. But then, you know, after the wedding, I'll go through and I'll, you know, tag all my favorites. That's another thing I love about Bridge is you can rate each image. Like, I'll give the ones I want to keep 1 star, the ones I really, really like to blog, those will be 2 stars, et cetera. And then, you know, after a wedding, I'll usually blog about it within a week or two, and then go through the rest of the images. And I love Bridge because you can batch edit in that, and, you know, we'll pull up 300 or 400 images at a time and, you know, go through and just give them all the similar settings of what I do, and then, you know, go through just and tweak each one. It's just basic corrections, like, you know, the levels and the exposure and the contrast and the saturation and things like that. And then, about 4 to 6 weeks later is when I upload it all to Pictage and provide it to my clients.
Now, you're talking about using Pictage. Do you use Pictage for all of your print fulfillment as well as allowing the client to be able to view their photography online? Or do you provide them a DVD and use Pictage, things like that?
Yeah, I do both. In my higher packages, I have where they also get a disc of their images, or they can also, if they get one of my lower packages, they can purchase the disc separately. I think that's really important as photographers to, you know, make our clients pay for our work and not just give it away. But regardless, everything is uploaded to Pictage, you know, for those guests at the wedding that, you know, grandma so-and-so who wants to order an 8x10 of whatever. And so everything is uploaded to Pictage, and then some clients do get the disc.
Do you do a lot of albums? I saw today you were designing some albums. So is that a common thing for pretty much all your weddings?
Surprisingly, not every bride gets an album. But yeah, lately, just the, you know, last round of weddings I've shot, everyone's pretty much getting an album. So I've been in, doing a lot of album design lately and things like that, and just had another cool one come in. I love Faneo albums, and that's who I've been using lately. And just, they have amazing quality and really impressed, and they have a funky kind of style that is very out of the box like me.
So when you're picking out the images for that particular album, are you picking them out, or are you doing proofs with the client and waiting for them to come back with images that they liked for you to include in the album? Can you explain your process on how that works?
Yeah, sure. I basically do a pre-design, designing the album how I feel best showcases the day for the client. And then from there, I provide them 2 revision phases where, you know, they're free to switch around photos and add the ones that they might like, or add pages or cut pages according to their budget and things like that. So I definitely, you know, it's kind of like 50-50. Like, I give them a starting point, and then they kind of take over from there.
Now, are you using Pictage for your album fulfillment, or are you using another vendor?
I'm using another vendor. I do love their album designer, but their albums only go up, I think, to like 60 pages, and a lot of my albums are 80 pages or more.
Wow.
So I had to find another
Those are big
outlet.
Albums.
Yeah, I know. Like, I get just as attached to the images as the clients do, and, you know,
it's
put
hard.
In a lot. Yeah, and then lately I've been doing more, like, design-wise, I've been doing a lot more, like, full-page pictures and full-page spreads, like have one horizontal across a spread versus having a lot of pictures, like squeezing on a lot into one page, because I just like the simplicity and the cleaner look of that.
Same. I can totally relate to that. That's how I like to do a lot of my albums as well.
Yeah.
Do you want to share who you use for your albums?
Yeah, I just mentioned it a second ago. It's Faneo Albums.
Faneo, okay.
Yeah, they just have a real awesome, like, funky style and very out-of-the-box, kind of like me, and they have a lot of fun, like, materials that you can provide for, like, the side binding or the covers, and they're a very fashion chic company that I like. I discovered them at WPPI.
They're very Cosmo.
I can see why you would use them.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you have, people say there's a Scarlett Lillian style of the way your images look. How would you describe your style?
Yes.
Good question. Well, as far as, like, when I'm shooting, you know, I'm totally a romantic at heart, and I think because I'm not married yet and I'm still single.
Are you looking?
I mean, I think we
might have readers, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, we have some fans that may be interested. You might get some new stalkers.
Twitter.com/ScarlettLillian.
ScarlettLillian.net.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say was, because, you know, I'm such a romantic at heart, and I love just pulling that passion out of my couple and, you know, kind of living vicariously through them right now since I don't have that in my life. It's for the time right now. And so I would say, like, that's kind of where it starts. And, you know, I love being able to make each bride just feel like she is a supermodel for the day. Because, you know, I'm a 28-year-old woman, and I know what it's like to just want that moment in front of the camera to just feel beautiful. And I love being able to help a bride to realize how beautiful she is through my camera. And so, like, that kind of starts, you know, like a lot of people ask me, like, how I get my couples to do all the cool posing and stuff like that. But I think it also starts with just the way you market yourself and brand yourself. You know, like, I put fun, girly pictures of me, like, in a frilly white dress on my website just to show brides, like, I like to have fun in front of the camera, and I want you to have fun in front of the camera, too. And so I tend to say, you know, my style is kind of very, like, glamorous and stylish and passionate.
Now, when you talk about, you know, working with the couple and working with the bride, do mm-hmm. you find that the brides open up a little bit more to you because you make that known up front and they've become very familiar with your work? Or do you have a little bit of homework that you like to give them, like, here's some things you may want to take a look at, some, you know, different references, magazines, ANTM, thing, or America's Next Top Model for those that don't know, you know, things like that?
Yeah, well, I think I just kind of naturally attract that kind of bride who's already, like, into things like that. And then, you know, it's more, I don't really give them homework, but, you know, the day of that I'm shooting them, whether it's an engagement session or the wedding, you know, you just really kind of, like, I really just talk to them like they're my own girlfriends, and we're just, like, goofing off in front of the camera, you know, and just really encourage them to work it for the camera and not be shy, and I just love being able to, like, pull that out of them.
Right on.
It's so much about the relationship with the client and not just...
Yeah, it is. And I think that's another advantage of being 28. You know, I'm the average age that a lot of brides are getting married, and so I really become, like, good friends with a lot of my brides, and so by the time their wedding day gets here, you know, I'm just kind of like another friend they're hanging around on their wedding day.
Very cool. Right on.
Let's kind of segue back to the technical for just a second. You use a lot of Photoshop, are there any specific filters or actions that you use besides ones that you create yourself?
I actually don't really use a lot of Photoshop. Like, in the beginning, I really used a lot of actions, but then wanted a more simplified workflow, and that's when I started getting more into Bridge, and I really do all my editing in Bridge. The only thing I might do in Photoshop is, like, bring an individual picture, and, like, if it's a close-up picture of the bride, and I might, like, erase the bags under her eyes or fix a few skin flaws or something. And for that, like, I like Pro Retouch, which I think is a totally rad action. I could be wrong. It might be something else. So really all my color correcting, as far as, like, popping my colors and stuff, that's all in Bridge through just settings that I created.
Excellent.
Now, using such fast glass for your weddings, about mm-hmm. how many photographs do you find yourself taking on average at a wedding or perhaps a reception or both or whatever?
Well, probably just at the end of the day when I've looked at all the images I've taken. It's usually probably about, like, 3,000 average. So, and then, but, you know, like, I really take in, like, a series of shots and then, you know, grab the best shot from that series when I'm doing shots.
So, are you delivering 3,000 images? Or
exactly.
No, I really only deliver probably, like, between 900 to 1,200. Because, like I said, I'm really just, like, choosing the best from, like, a series of shots and, you know, deleting the out-of-focus ones or the ones where people's eyes are closed and things like that. But I don't delete anything important. It's just the ones that aren't really print-worthy.
And then when you deliver those, is everything processed to some extent?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I was just wondering.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why I love Bridge, because you can just batch edit, and it makes it a lot easier to go through. I'm just kind of anal about, like, I don't want a picture of mine out there that's, like, straight out of the camera, because every picture is a potential picture that somebody could buy and put up on their wall kind of thing. I know a lot of people, they might just only edit the album pictures or the ones they actually order, but with Pictage, you know, you have to upload every single JPEG, and I like to just give it a quick bump with my style, you know.
Now, you'd mentioned that you had gone into the dark side of JPEG for a little while, but for some of those that are out there that still shoot JPEG, that's okay for them.
Yeah.
But no,
yeah.
It's not. We're going to convince them.
Yeah, we're going to convince them. We're going to show them that RAW is the right way. But
yeah.
Just curious, what were some of the things, like, what were some of the pros and cons that you liked about RAW as opposed to JPEG? Like, how did you find yourself not really just totally sticking with the JPEG world?
Well, the thing I loved about it is that, you know, it writes to the memory card that much faster, especially, like, the way I do shoot is, like, click, 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 you know. Sometimes RAW, when you get to take so many in a row, it's like it has to stop and process. And then another reason I loved it is for, like, quick download, because I wanted to start doing slideshows at receptions again, something that I had kind of stopped doing for a while. And I loved how I was able to just spit out a slideshow real fast at the wedding that I was trying out the JPEG again on. But what I just really didn't like was the skin tone. Like, it just, I don't know, it was looking too orangey and too oompa loompa, and I just realized that I liked it better in RAW and
now
stuff.
You,
but in CS3 and stuff, you can still, like, batch edit and Bridge, which is another reason I was trying it out now that you could do that.
Do you find that you get a little more latitude and a little more range using the RAW images in Bridge as opposed to shooting with JPEG?
Yeah, that too. Like, you know, for those blip images we have where something might go wrong, we have the settings wrong or something, in RAW, I'm definitely able to recover images better. Like, if there was something that was overexposed, I'm still able to, like, bring it back and still have the highlights and stuff like that. Versus JPEG, there wasn't as much of a range.
But wait a minute, Carrie. This is Scarlett Lillian. She doesn't have errors.
No. Not what we've heard.
No, the rumor has it that everything that comes out of your computer is... Perfect.
Oh, I wish.
We've actually been asked a lot to do an article of RAW versus JPEG, so we're kind of hammering on that topic a little bit, because, like, David Zeiser, he just made the big switch, but his reason for doing it was Lightroom. That was what really convinced him.
So it's
interesting to see big pro names out there that everyone is knowing about going, I'm finally switching.
Right.
And like, you weren't?
Yeah, but then again, you know, I mean, you talk about big pro names, you know, so, you know, there's always, you know, Carrie Garrison and David Esquire. I mean,
course.
We're right there at the top of the pyramid with Scarlett Lillian. So, you know, we know what that's like.
And now, we don't shoot JPEG.
No, Lightroom is an amazing world for me. Amazing.
Yeah, is that what you guys use?
Yeah.
Yes. I'm a big fan, and it's really changed. It's interesting because you talk about having started off with Photoshop, and then myself as well. That's pretty much what I had grown up with, and it just got to the point where you're like, oh my gosh, I'm spending all this time in post, and Lightroom just changed it for me, like Bridge changed it for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know they're very similar. I've had people try to convince me to switch to Lightroom, but it's just, you know, Bridge is what I've always used and what I like, and I think it's kind of like Mac versus PC. There's no right or wrong.
Yeah, especially with PS4. I mean, they're so close.
Yeah.
Canon versus the other people.
Yeah, that's
cool. Yeah. So with your video background, are you looking forward to the 5D Mark II?
You know, I've had other people ask me that, and I honestly haven't even really, like, looked into it that much. I always say I'm like the last to upgrade any kind of technology, and haven't really done a lot of research about it, just more than hearing that it can do video too. But I really haven't, I don't really do that much video anymore. It just wasn't where my heart was and stuff like that. So, yeah, but it sounds like it's an exciting tool, but isn't it, didn't I hear it's like exorbitant in price or something?
It's like a 5D when it came out.
Right. It's in the $3,000 really? Range.
Yeah, 26.
Oh, okay. I thought I heard it was like $12,000 or something.
No. It's in the $3,000 range, fully loaded with the battery grip. But I think from a wedding photographer point of view, unless you're delivering a DVD, you know, a playable DVD, or you're doing some other type of slideshow, there really isn't a need to be stuffing in any small video clips. But if that is something that you're providing, and as they're sitting there watching the slideshow on their TV, and all of a sudden here's this nice little pan, or, you know, a little pan down the dress, or some little discrete pieces of video, I think that's where some of us may start to use the video capabilities of a camera like that. I don't think any of us are going to go out and start doing wedding videography with a DSLR.
Yeah. Well, I know during the time that I was still fulfilling video weddings while I was starting the photography into things, like, it just got so stressful having to, like, kind of straddle two boats between, like, your video head and your photography head and stuff. So I think it's like bringing two different worlds together. And I know I'm going to just keep it simple and stay with photography and probably not go down that route.
Now, I was curious about your background and just how visually driven you are with your work. Do you find yourself doing a lot of pre-visualization? I can't talk tonight. I need another Diet Coke. Edit there, clip, fix. with your background in design and with the video and with photography, do you find yourself doing a lot of pre-viz before you're shooting and seeing the shot before it happens? Because you mentioned having a pretty good arsenal of glass on you, carried around in your customized shoot sack. And I was just wondering, do you do that? Because that's kind of like how I shoot, so it's kind of like, ooh, are you in the same boat with me?
You mean like scouting out places before?
Well, no, you'll see a shot you'll see a shot in your mind before you actually take it. So you'll see like a scene and you'll picture it in your mind. You'll be like, okay, but I need to use this glass and I need to set it up this way. And it just all kind of comes together that way. You pre-visit.
Yeah, kind of. But, you know, I've kind of also learned not to expect one thing or another, because sometimes I will have something in my head. And then, like, for instance, the other day, I just did a wonderful engagement session. And, you know, I love to, like, really make my brides almost, you know, give me, like, the supermodel face and stuff. And some people, like, some couples really, like, pull it off well. But this one couple, like, they just kept laughing and laughing and laughing together. So really, like, a lot of their engagement session shots are just them laughing together. And I just, you know, had to accept, like, okay, I had one thing in mind for them, but, you know, this is their love language, and I want to capture their natural affections together. And so... But yeah, as far as like setting up shots, you know, if I see something like wide that's cool, you know, I'll think like, you know, I need to get my wide shot or my wide angle lens for this, and you know, play around with that and stuff. But yeah, because I don't know if I answered the question.
Okay, we'll give you an easy one, because you mentioned this early on, is that as you were looking at getting into still photography and moving in that direction, that you were blog stalking. So who were you blog stalking?
Well, I had kind of gotten involved in the beginning with Open Source Photo Forum. And so it was like a lot of photographers on there, like, you know, David Jay and Jasmine Starr and Jessica Clare. And I'm trying to think who else. Just, yeah, a lot of, like, Southern California kind of photographers. Because, you know, my kind of vision before all that of wedding photography was more just based on my local market here, which is a very traditional market. And so it was cool to see, like, what other people on the other side of the country were doing with really making wedding photography such an art form and really pulling a lot of photojournalism style into it and everything. So, yeah, those are probably some of my original favorites.
Yeah,
but I've really gotten.
I was just going to ask. Yeah, Carrie and I. Who else are you stalking?
You know, honestly, like, I really don't read a lot of blogs anymore because I kind of had reached this point, like, earlier on where I started to, I guess, realize that I didn't want to be, like, I wanted to be inspired by these people, but I didn't want to be influenced. Like, I didn't want to be on a shoot thinking, like, oh, let me try to recreate this shot that this person did, you know. So I really, like, pulled away and went kind of, like, on a blog detox of not reading a lot for a while and started turning more to, like, fashion photography and things like that. Through fashion magazines, and really just wanted to pull away to find my own niche and my own style and to shoot naturally, like how I saw the world through my camera versus trying to, like, you know, almost like recreate something that someone else did. So, and then now with just like being so busy, I'm really bad about reading blogs. Even my friends, it's, you know, I'll send them text messages sometimes and I'm like, I'm sorry, I haven't kept up with your blog. But so I don't really have like a regular reading list right now and stuff, but.
Interesting. Very interesting. But are you partaking in any of the forums that are out there? Are you still, like, involved with Open Source Photo, perhaps DWF, Fast Track Photographer, things like that?
Yeah, not really. You know, just with being so busy, it's like one of those things that can suck you in and make you procrastinate a lot and not get your real work done. So I haven't been participating really in any of them as much. I've been more on like photographymentor.com lately, with just, you know, they have a chat room over there, but again, that gets addicting and have to kind of limit myself sometimes.
Absolutely. I know how that goes. You get, you know, kind of a dry season, you're like, oh my God, I have to check like 800 blogs today. And But where, so you recently just did a spend the day with Scarlett thing. Are you going to continue things like that? Are you going to get into training? Where do you see yourself going over the next couple of years?
Good question. Yeah, well, with the spend the day, that's basically just kind of like a one-on-one workshop where, you know, I know that I've learned best from just having those photographer friends that I could just pick their brains, you know, one-on-one and ask them all my dumb questions and stuff. So that's really just what I'm offering, like, right now. And then, you know, they come and we'll have time for the computer and they can ask all their questions and we'll do a photo shoot together and stuff like that. And I am taking on some new people in the new year. As far as, like, long-term, I really would love to host a workshop one day, but it's kind of one of those things I'm still brainstorming about, a group workshop, I'm sorry, and haven't really pursued it at all, but just kind of have some visions going around in my head of what I think a fun workshop would be. And then lately, actually, I've been getting, like, requests from people asking me to put out a DVD for the people that can't necessarily make it to come spend a day with me. So I've been thinking about that for a fun project in the new year, but again, just kind of brainstorming about it, and we'll see what happens with that.
Cool. That'd be very cool.
Yeah. We like watching stuff like that.
Yes. And then you could also do, like, a second DVD to accompany the primary DVD that has all of your bridge information and all the EXIF data.
Putting the training material together is a lot of work.
It is. It really is.
Yeah, I know. So it's one of those things that kind of have to wait till things slow down a little bit.
But for you, that's not really happening.
Yeah, it's kind of been kind of crazy lately.
Now, when you were getting started going back into photography from videography, did you work as a second for other photographers? And, you know, is that, do you help other photographers by having them act as seconds?
Yeah, when I was first starting out, there were a few photographers that I did second shoot with. That was one, you know, benefit of getting involved in a forum is there were always people on there that were looking for second shooters. And then, you know, I went to, like, some get-togethers where other photographers were and made friendships through that for photographers in other areas and would second shoot with them. And then now, yeah, for every wedding I shoot now, I have a second shooter. It's basically, you know, a photographer friend of mine that I'll fly from another part of the country and have them come shoot with me. And, yeah, I can't imagine shooting a wedding day by myself. There's just, you know, so many things and so many different perspectives that I like having somebody else there to capture a different perspective of the day.
Because we've done some articles lately on why you should work with other people and network with other people, and it's not just so that you have someone that's a second with, but also to refer leads to if you've got, if you're booked for a day. Are you a big proponent of networking with other people?
Yeah, I totally believe in, you know, the pay it forward principle of, you know, like you just said, if, you know, I'm booked for a day, to be able to refer a friend of mine rather than just send the bride away, you know. And yeah, networking just has been very beneficial for my own career. And, you know, that's how I met David recently, was at PartnerCon. And it was fun to hang out with him. And I still have, like, our photo booth picture on my fridge and everything. And David, you're just an amazing guy and have been so encouraging with saying so many sweet things along the way. So thank you for that. But, yeah, and it's just fun, too, to meet other photographers and just have fun with them, you know. Like, you can't really talk Photoshop talk with your everyday friends, and so it's nice when you kind of meet other photographers and you can talk your own little photography language and and stuff like that. And so it's been fun to go to things like, you know, WPPI and PartnerCon. And recently I started a Pictage user group here in Jacksonville to kind of bring together the local photographers more and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely very beneficial. And you can learn so much just from other people. And that's another reason I love having a second shooter is, you know, you can really feed off each other a lot with all the craziness of a wedding day and, you know, toss around ideas of different things to do with each other and stuff.
I absolutely agree. I mean, David and I shoot together all the time whenever possible. Whoever's job it is, we'll bring the other person in. And I really enjoy shooting with another person. But mm-hmm. as we were talking about, you know, the paying it forward, and we have so many blogs out there to help people, and, mm-hmm. you know, even, you know, you're out there and you're talking to people and you're, you know, coaching and all this. This didn't seem to be the case back in the days of film. Why do you think that in today's world, in today's industry of digital, why do you think that people are so much more apt to share the knowledge?
I don't really know, but I definitely am glad that it's come around that way. I think it was Dane Sanders who I heard say, like, early on, he said, you know, it's not about us taking our piece of the pie, but it's about making the pie bigger for all of us. And I totally love that principle. And, you know, I'm so glad that it has changed. And I think it's just better to be able to come together to improve this industry as a whole rather than, you know, compete against each other. And, unfortunately, there are still people out there that think that way, but I would, you know, rather choose to keep things positive and to help other people out.
Yeah, fantastic. Did you have?
No, it's interesting because I just had A Beautiful Mind on the other night, and the whole John Nash theory that ran through the entire movie is very much true to today's business world for wedding photography, where everybody is in it to help themselves and to help each other. So it's a win-win situation.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a very dynamic situation.
For everybody.
And, you know, and having come from film for myself and having, you know, shot for a long time, I'm just going to say that. It's just so neat to see it change.
Wait, you've been shooting as long as she's been alive?
No. Oh, no. Wow. Okay.
Oops. How long have you been shooting?
Shoot comes off and hits him during the edit.
But, yeah, I mean, I totally agree with networking with other people. And, I mean, just on Sunday, I didn't have anything else to do, and Robert was having this Trash the Dress shoot up at his studio, and, you know, there's like 15 of us there shooting this couple, and it was just a lot of fun to play off each other and see what everyone else was thinking and, you know, toss different ideas around. It's a great learning experience to be able to work with other people like that.
Now,
it
curious,
really is.
When you have another photographer shoot with you, what are some of the dynamic, I guess, limitations or expectations that you may have on them? Like when Carrie and I are shooting together, it's more like two primary photographers going out there. But then when you may work with somebody else, it may be, okay, you know, me number one, you number two.
Yeah, you stand off in the corner with the long lens and just get the long stuff.
Exactly. So I guess this question is kind of twofold. Do you have those type of parameters or those type of, or that more of a open check kind of a policy? And then not only that, but then what type of usage do you allow the other photographers? Are they only able to do it on the blog or in print or on their web or no usage whatsoever? Do they credit you? How does that come together?
Yeah, kind of like how you guys shoot, you know, I always tell them to kind of shoot it as if it's their own wedding, but obviously, you know, don't get in my shots. And I love being able to have just, you know, different perspectives. Like, I'll be in front of the aisle getting the bride coming down. I'll have them, like, behind, you know, getting the train coming down or something. And just I always encourage them to look for those different angles than what I'm shooting. And as far as usage, yeah, I allow them to use it on their blog and for any of their marketing material and things like that. Because I know how it was second shooting. Like, I wanted to be able to use my images as well and use that for my portfolio. So, yeah, and, you know, a lot of times it's just another friend of mine, and we have a good time hanging out, and it's just, yeah, a lot of fun.
We had to actually get radios so I could sit there and go, David, get out of my shot.
That's a good idea. I've needed that a couple times.
They are so handy. Now, when you use a second shooter, do you have them sign any type of a contract, like an independent contractor contract? Do you still retain the copyright for your studio? How would that come together? I know that's a common question and a common concern.
Good question.
Yeah. I have come up with a contract because, you know, you kind of learn things the hard way sometimes. And basically it just kind of outlines my expectations for them as my shooter, and then, you know, covering the usage and things like that. And then I have each shooter fill out a W-9 form for my accountant, you know, take care of those kind of details and stuff.
Excellent. So what,
I think it's just kind of like your own expectations of what you want out of somebody.
Do you have some advice that you would give people who are wanting to get into photography, or more specifically into wedding photography?
Yeah, I would say get involved in forums, and, you know, there's always people on there that are looking for second shooters, and it's just a great place to, you know, ask questions and soak up knowledge, and that's, you know, really kind of how I taught myself, was just doing a lot of research online and then through meeting other photographers and asking them questions, shooting with them and stuff. But then also, if you are just starting out, I highly suggest starting a blog. That really has become my best marketing tool. And, you know, at this point, a lot of my brides tell me, like, oh, we love your photography, but we love who you are as a photographer. And you're just the kind of person that we want to have around us on the wedding day. And, you know, don't be afraid of putting your real personality out there on the blog. And, you know, people want to, they're not just hiring your photography, but they're hiring you as a photographer. And you want to be able to show people who you really are and just stay true to yourself. And that'll attract the kind of clients that you want to get.
Now, you're talking about, like, some things that would really be beneficial for an up-and-coming photographer that would be breaking into the market or just maybe taking on their hobby a little bit more seriously. What would be some suggestions that you would have for an up-and-coming shooter on how to develop their own style? You had said that you had taken, like, a bit of a blog hiatus to you know, not really be so influenced by everybody else's styles. What are some things... You know, and that worked for you. But what are some things that you may like to suggest to some new people that are coming up that you found worked for you when you were just getting started making the transition?
I think I just kind of became obsessed with the camera, and I was just shooting anything and everything possible to try to just, you know, learn the ins and outs of the camera and all the different lenses. And, you know, I must have like a million pictures of my dog, like just trying to, you know, understand the technical aspects of it. And and then, you know, just there would, you know, be friends that I would shoot for free just to use them as, you know, models to experiment on and provide them, you know, pictures from that as well, just to kind of get that experience with people and relations and, you know, just, yeah, just shoot. And, you know, eventually word will get out there and just start telling everybody that I'm a photographer now. And, you know, word of mouth is your greatest marketing tool as well. And things will eventually evolve.
The big thing that has been on my mind a lot lately, and you and I have chatted a little bit about it, do you find that your faith and your family play a very large, influential part in your photography style, your photography business, who you are as a photographer? And do you find that it may limit you or prohibit you from doing certain things? Like, we've just had the enormous, you know, Proposition 8 issue out here, and we had a lot of same-sex weddings and things like that. And I know it's different around the country, but do you find that where you are at spiritually and with your faith, does that really play a large part of who you are and as a photographer?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I'm vocal about on my blog, and I definitely just believe in being true to who I am and showing people that, and, you know, my faith is the most important thing in my life, and I can't imagine not talking about it just in my everyday blog entries, and, you know, the great thing about wedding photography is every wedding revolves around a religious ceremony, and so there's, you know, a little bit more leeway with, you know, being vocal about it, and it's been great to, again, it's, I mean, with attracting the brides that I attract, you know, a lot of them do have also have a strong faith, and we've been able to relate just on that personal level, and to be able to, you know, pray for each other and things like that that come along the way. Like, I had some recent brides who had recently lost their fathers to cancer, and, you know, I'm currently going through that with my own father, and it's just been great to have that relationship beyond a client and a bride to really become friends with that person and to get intimate and personal and in a spiritual sense to pray for each other and things like that. So, yeah, it's definitely, I definitely believe in just being open about that. And, it's, I've been, you know, really blessed because of it with some amazing clients.
That's fantastic.
And it shows.
So one other question for people getting started. We'll get wrapped up. We don't want to, you know, tie you up all night because you're 3 hours ahead of us.
That's okay.
Don't get to miss any important shows or anything.
I'm DVRing them.
There you go.
Aren't we all?
The hills.
I mean, what would we do without DVRs as wedding photographers?
Oh, my gosh. And I just recently got it. I was like, how did I live without this?
I don't know what it's like to watch live TV.
I know, me either anymore.
So, for someone who's getting started, what is there a good way of getting leads? Should they just all go on Craigslist and post for $250 weddings? What's the best way, or do you have any advice on how someone can start generating business?
When I was first starting out, you know, I put a listing on The Knot, and I got some leads that way. I did a few bridal shows and got a few leads that way. But, you know, with bridal shows and naughty brides, a lot of the times they're kind of like the budget brides. And so after, you know, I got my first few bookings from, like, those routes, I just kind of realized that I wanted to start targeting a more high-end bride and pretty much doubled my prices and have been booking that kind of bride since then. But, you know, you have to start somewhere. And, again, just through networking with other photographers, you know, like, they'll be able to send you leads and, again, just kind of telling everybody you're a photographer now and having to, you know, bite the bullet and shoot a few free weddings in the beginning, you know, and just it's important to get those portfolio pieces to be able to show people your work, and then eventually your work really will start, you know, selling itself.
You talked about doubling your prices. So when are you going to pull a Mike Colon move and double the prices from where you're at right now?
Good question. I actually will be raising them again in the new year. So.
Uh-oh.
Kind of working on that again. I don't think I'm going to be quite as high as Mike Colon.
There's not going to be another doubling this time around.
Yeah, unless he talks me into it in Hawaii. I'm excited. I'm going to his workshop out in Hawaii. And
Awesome. Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I'm excited to learn a little bit more about everything. To continue growing as a photographer and businesswoman and things like that.
That's something that I always strive to tell people is don't stop learning.
No. Don't stop shooting.
You know,
that's what's so great about being a photographer. Every photo shoot challenges us to just learn more and more, to push ourselves to get that next great shot. And I hope I never stop learning.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, again, we want to thank you for being on. It's been close to an hour.
Well,
so
thank you so much. Wow, already?
Yeah, I know. It's fantastic. I mean, not the 2 hours that you did on photographymentor.com, but, you know, we don't want to eat up all your time, but we will have you back on again and maybe talk about how effective raising your prices was again.
Okay.
Definitely.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you so much for having me on. This was fun, and you guys are amazing.
Well, we definitely are fans of your work and have been following you, and we hope that everyone else will visit your website at, how can they contact you?
At scarletlillian.com.
There we go.
There you are.
And from Florida, we, again, really appreciate you taking your time out, especially 3 hours ahead of us, so it's 10 o'clock at night over there.
I'm a night owl anyway.
Well, good. Then maybe we should just go for another hour.
Let's just keep going. Yeah, I'm down.
We'll do a part two series.
No, that's really cool of you being able to do this, you know, for our listeners. And I'm sure that they're really going to have a lot of information that's going to stem from this. And then there'll probably be a lot of questions, I would imagine, on some of the forums and some of the different postings that'll come live of this. And, you know, I would definitely be, you know, curious to hear what they've got to say about this.
Yeah, me too. And I'm excited to discover your podcast. I'm always looking for new things to listen to while I'm editing. So you're definitely now my
take a hiatus host. From us.
Yeah, no. We'll slip you a 20 every here and there. It's okay.
Well, thank you, Scarlett. We really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. Y'all have a great night.
All right, you too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was our interview with Scarlett. That was really fun. Did you get some stuff out of that, David?
Oh, my gosh. My head is spinning right now. It's just
you should see
spinning.
It. You'd think it was Halloween right now. It's just, you know, a little Linda Blair thing going on here. But it was a great interview. I really enjoyed talking to her. She is a fantastic person. She's just an incredible photographer.
Her personality is reflective of her work.
Absolutely.
It's bright. It's colorful. It's fun. It's vibrant. It's romantic. She is a pure romantic at heart, and she has no shame in saying that either. And
no,
I think
absolutely.
That's awesome. You know,
yeah.
Putting it out there on her sleeve.
So we hope you enjoyed that. We're going to be bringing you some other terrific interviews over the next couple months. We've got a lot of great names lined up. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag yet. I wanted them to be some nice surprises, but David and I have been lining up people left and right to do some really cool interviews so that, you know, I realize they're probably getting bored listening to us.
Yeah, definitely. We should
so
probably
let's get
sign
some
off.
Other people on.
Yeah, let's get
but
some more people on.
Let's tell them who we're getting on next week.
Okay.
We'll tell you who's coming on next week.
Wait a minute. Let's give them a chance to guess. Okay, guess who?
Next week, we're going to have Dane Sanders.
From Fast Track Photographers. Excellent man. I've got the book. I'm a member of FTP. And he's just absolutely a phenomenal inspiration for me and a super great guy as well.
Yeah, I think he's going to give some really good tips on how to just kind of move yourself to the next level.
Definitely. And really discover more about who you are as a photographer. And not only that, but really decide at that point, okay, you know, what is it that you want to get out of your photography and out of you in this business?
Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up. This is Kerry Garrison. You can obviously find us at CameraDojo.com. We have a CameraDojo.com fan page on Facebook now. We've got CameraDojo at Twitter, Twitter.com/CameraDojo. And me personally, you can see my work at L7Studios.com.
And this is David Esquire, and you can see our work and our blog at EsquirePhotography.com. Definitely come by, take a look, take a peek. Check out our West Coast Wednesday video of the week, as well as some of our great wedding tips and some of the current work we've got featured on there.
Absolutely. And send us letters.
We need some
more letters for our next Letters from Listeners show.
Yes.
And feedback. Our forums, yes. Feedback. We'd love to hear from you. And we'll see you next week.
See you.